as your pastor, I've got something that I feel we're going to spend some time on in the next couple of weeks. And I can go as long as I want because I'm the guy in charge. So we might go 2 weeks, we might go 10 weeks. It just depends on kind of where we wind up. But I'm going to spend some time talking to us about leadership, if you don't mind. And I believe that we've kind of... It's kind of the buzzword, right? It's kind of the buzzword in churches and in business and kind of everywhere we go. And I think all of us are trying to figure out what it means to be a leader. And I hope that we can spend some time talking about it. And I think that I've got a fresh perspective on it for us. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray for this time together and pray for churches that are meeting all over the city, because we believe that we're a part of something big, right? Not just here, but we are part of something big that God is doing in this city. So, Father, we just thank you that you are here in our midst. Lord, I just thank you for every church in this city that declares the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage every person attending, Lord, and those that are hearing for the first time the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them close to you. Lord, I pray for pastors and leaders all over the city that they would be encouraged today. And Lord, I pray that you help me in my brand new jacket to preach better than I've ever preached, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. You know, it always feels good when you get to wear something new, man. I'm just telling you. My wife bought this for me before she headed back to L.A. She's there with our daughter. She sends our love. Our daughter's had the opportunity to kind of step into a new season. And there's some cool things that are on the horizon. Thank you for your prayers for my wife's mom, who's been battling cancer. And they're actually in the process of selling their house and moving to California so they can kind of be with my daughter in this season, because my wife's ultimate desire is to be here with you guys, and because she loves this and this is our home. So let's kind of jump in, right? Like I've been thinking a lot about, and maybe when you watch the news and you see all the different things that are going on in people's lives, I realize that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on us. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on us as people who are trying to make it in this world. And in our workplace, in our homes, in everywhere that we go, there's this expectation, this level that we kind of want to be successful. And maybe whether it's ourselves or it's the company that we work with, but there's this expectation for us to step into leadership. There's this expectation for us to make it, to be better than we've ever been. Maybe you have this desire internally to have money, to influence. And as I watch people, I see that they begin to crumble when they get to a certain level. That you see people who would be at the pinnacle of their business career ending their life. Because I believe that we have this idea of leadership, that we kind of push ourselves and put ourselves into places that ultimately, if you don't have the right foundation, it will crumble. And sometimes, if you don't, you know, and this is like when you're about to buy a house, right? And there's a word that when the inspector comes to check out the house, that the moment they say it, you're like, I'm out. And that's foundation. The moment they go, you know what, that house that you've fallen in love with, that you see yourself living in, yeah, there's some issues with the foundation. And you're like, if you're smart, you're like, oh, man, we're out. Or you're going to go get like 10 engineers, and they're going to either tell you walk away or, hey, this can be fixed easily. But even then, when they say it can be fixed easily, there's this like in the back of your mind, should we? And I think the same is when we step into areas that we really desire. We want to have areas of influence in our business. We want to be managers or CEOs or entrepreneurs. But I think ultimately, if we're not careful, this idea of leadership becomes egocentric. And that we want to oppose our will because we believe that ultimately we have the right answers. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves out on an island where all of the pressure rests on our shoulders because we're a leader. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus, you know, when I began to kind of, I felt like we were going to spend some time talking about leadership. I began to look through Jesus' conversations with people, and there really wasn't that many places where he even used the word lead or go lead, or leadership, or you should be a leader. But there was one particular one that caught my eye that I think we got to look at this morning. It's kind of funny when we think of this idea of leadership. Now, before you put it up, the context of Jesus as he begins to walk into this earth, he begins to see that leadership is actually something that is being abused. And that as the religious leaders of his day and governmental leaders, they were using their authority, their leadership, as a platform for them to make other people do what they wanted. And they would live a hypocritical life. So you just do what I say, not as I do. And yet, when we begin to watch leadership as this type of platform, we think that we can't wait to be the boss. The moment we get to be the boss, everything shapes around us. I mean, when you're the boss, you step into the room and people are like, hello. And you're like, yeah, let's do that. We're going to take care of that. We're going to do this. Now I'm going to go up in my office. I'm going to go watch some Netflix. Luke 6:39, this is what it says. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Jesus begins to compare the idea of leading to this blind leading the blind. Hey, follow me. So we see giant companies and corporations hiring people to lead their advertisement, and we're not even quite sure where they're leading us as a people. It's almost like, oh, hey, we're going to lead you to spend more so that more of us are wrecked. And so we have this leadership principle that I feel like if we don't understand the foundation, we're going to step into, and it actually causes us to crumble because the foundation hasn't been laid. So when you begin to look at what Jesus was leaning into, he didn't call any of his disciples to be leaders. He actually said it like this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets, their livelihood, their will, what they wanted to do at once, and followed him. A little further on the shore, two other brothers were there, James and John, sitting in the boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them and said, follow me. And they immediately followed him, leaving their boats. Another passage of scripture, Matthew 9:9. It says that Jesus was walking along and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. And this is what he said to Matthew, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Woo! This is so good. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. They know, I know them, and they, oh, you guys are getting it. All right, good, we're getting there. John 12:26, anyone who wants to serve me must because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. The Father will honor anyone who serves me. And here's what's interesting is Jesus gave the indication of himself of what this looks like. He didn't just say, hey, I want you guys to be blind, you know, followers, but this is what Jesus indicated in John 8:28. This is what he said, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do. For I always do what pleases him. Then many who hear him say these things, they heard him say these things and they believed in him. Jesus begins to paint the picture that there's this idea of following that precedes everything else. And I think if we don't get it, then what happens is we take the brunt of the pressure, not knowing what actually following does for his believers. Because following actually prepares the way to be an incredible employee, entrepreneur, husband, father, mother, parent. Because when we follow, listen, followers learn to pay attention. Because I want to know what you're doing so that I can see how you do it, so that I can step into it. You see, Jesus understands that we haven't learned how to walk the way we should. And so he says, listen, I want to show you. And when I show you, it changes the pressure that you feel because you're doing what I am doing. Followers, listen to every word. If you're a good follower, you pay attention to the words that are being spoken so you can do what is being said. Rather than not paying attention, not listening, don't really care what anybody else has to say because I'm excited for what I'm about to do and what I want to say. Let me just tell you, good luck with that. But yet we find ourselves not being good listeners. Because we're constantly having a dialogue of how can I turn this whole thing around so I can get what I want. But ultimately, if that's the foundation that we lay for adding this idea of leadership and the leadership principles and developing the leader within you and out and getting 75 different laws of leadership, if you try to pile those onto the wrong foundation, it will crumble. Because before I can ever say what I need to say, I need to learn to hear what is being said. Followers are patient. Now, I know this is kind of working your minds over because we've always said followers are negative. Oh, you're just a follower, you know. You don't know how to, you have no spine. You're just a follower. But Jesus actually called his disciples to be. How could you use that word? It's so beneath me. But yet it's the very thing that Jesus wants us as his people to become the best at. Because followers actually have no problem making the decision and walking it out because they've seen it done. Peter learns this lesson kind of the hard way, which he always does. I love Peter. He reminds me of myself sometimes. But Jesus and Peter are having this conversation, and Jesus asks Peter, who are you? That's awesome. That's a gift. That was for you to help you wake up. Some of you were starting to nod off. It was getting, and I literally peed my pants up here. It was so loud in the monitors. Oh, you thought that was like a cool twitch. No, that was like, I'm losing myself right now. Oh, you know, like when the house is dark, you know, and you hear that sound and your kid scares you and you're like, ah! And they're like, you're just, hey, it's cool. You know, but really, that was your reaction that you were about to take somebody out. I think I almost did take Jack out one time when he like scared me. I was like, ah, tackled him. Whew, preparing myself. Sorry, that was a blessing. I don't even know where I was. Oh, Peter. Peter and Jesus are having this conversation. He says, who do you say that I am? He says, hey, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, man, Peter, I'm going to do something with you. First of all, your name is Simon, and I'm going to change it. And I want you to be a part of helping build my church. And Peter's like, yeah, rad, I'm in. So Peter takes this as an assumption that he's now the great leader, which I would do too. It's like, yes, I am the one. And all the other disciples are like, Jesus, why did you have to say that to him? Like, come on. You know that Peter always is like the bossy guy. And so Peter's like, yes, thank you, Lord. I've waited for this moment. And I just want all the other disciples to know that I'm in charge. And so now Jesus begins to share with his followers that he's going to have to go into Jerusalem and there he's going to die. This is not the kind of conversation that they were expecting, nor did they really want. For Peter, this was, Jesus was now the answer to the what he saw in the earth that they were going to take over. So I'm on the Jesus bandwagon because we're going to dominate the world. And so when Jesus starts talking about dying and laying his life down and being persecuted, Peter's like, this does not sound like the kind of thing that God would want us to have. And I think it's very similar to leadership sometimes. When we're a leader, we're like, man, listen, if I'm a great leader, I should have no problems. Everything should be smooth and we should be the most successful people in the universe. And so here's Peter. He turns to Jesus to offer him his advice. And he says, Jesus, you know, I just want you to know, you're the guy. You're the one in charge. Why would we allow you to have this experience? I think we should stay here. Let's just say we did, but we did it. And Jesus turns to Peter and rebukes him and calls him the devil. And he says, Peter, you are seeing things through your eyes, but I see things through my Father's eyes. What did Jesus say in John 8, 28? I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father has taught me. Then Jesus goes into verse 24 that I wanted to illustrate this morning. And he says to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, number one, you must give up your own way. How you want it. Why you want it. How you seeing it being shaped. And he says, let me teach you. Because here's what happens. Like Jesus, he's in the garden and he's talking to the Father about going to the cross. And the Bible says that he's on his knees and he's asking that this would be possibly taken from him. Do I have to go through all that I'm about to go through, being whipped and beaten and the thorns and all of this experience and me taking all this pain, is it necessary? And I think sometimes we can be in problematic situations and we wonder, is this necessary? But when you are a follower of Jesus, when you've yielded yourself to him, you can allow yourself to be in situations that may not feel comfortable, but you recognize that God has something greater in your midst. So you can learn to listen. You can learn to pay attention. You can discern what God is doing because this is not about you. It's about what he wants to do in those that are around you. So Jesus is not trying to get a bunch of blind, dumb followers. He's actually in creating authority in us like we've never seen. Point in case, there was a Roman official who had a servant that was sick. He comes to Jesus, actually he sends one of his other servants to Jesus and he says, listen, my servant is sick, would you come? So Jesus starts heading that direction. The Roman official kind of meets Jesus halfway and says, hey, listen, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my home. Now, by the way, if you consider yourself a great leader, you're like Jesus. I am one of the greats. And you should see my home and the success that I've had. I've built it on the backs of those who are my employees. But he stops Jesus and he says, listen, I'm a man under authority. I've learned to listen to those that are over me and hear what they want, not just what I think they should want. But I've learned to be a good listener. I've learned to follow. And in following, I've become a good leader where I say to those that are under me, here's what you should do, and we've been successful. So I know that you are a man who has authority, and all you have to do is say the word, and my servant miles away will be healed because everything that's underneath you, because you're submitted to the Father, will do what you say. And Jesus stops and looks around and looks at his disciples, and it's like, I've never seen faith like this. Why? Because this man understands what it means to follow. And because he was a follower, not the negative sense, but the positive sense, because he was willing to lean into rather than trying to figure out how he can have his way. But what do you need, oh boss? What do you need, oh wife? What do you need, oh children? What do you need, employer, employees? And because I've seen it, because I listen, because I pay attention, I'm willing to lay it down. So the first thing he says is you must give up your own way. Second, he says take up your cross, which means that there's going to be situations that you don't like, that you don't want to be in. But because you're a follower of Jesus, you can lean into it and say, not my will, but what are you doing in this situation right now? And you want to talk about being successful? You want to talk about going to the top of the corporate ladder? You be someone that in the midst of crazy pressure, you don't crumble because you can see what God is doing. You can see that possibly he put you in this place because you're there to influence a group of people that no one else could influence. And yes, I know she drives you crazy. And I know that employee is crazy. And I know that employer is not your favorite. But in the end, you can see past all of that. And you can learn to listen and pay attention. And you begin to do things that no one else has ever done. Because at one time, you were listening to your boss. And you heard him say what was his favorite thing. And you paid attention because you've heard Jesus tell you things before, and so you lean into it, and then next thing you know, you have something sitting on his desk. I'm just trying to help y'all. So listen, when you become successful, help me build a children's wing, okay? So he said, listen, you're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to be in places that you don't like, but I've brought you there, and as a good follower, you're going to stop fighting it, and you're going to lean into it. You're going to learn to listen. You're going to learn to be patient. You're going to see what God is doing. And you know what's interesting? I can't say this for certain. But it would have been interesting to listen to the conversation in the garden when Jesus was asking the Father to take that away from him, that he wouldn't have to go through that kind of torture. Maybe your relationship with the Father is different than mine, but sometimes I ask to be taken out of situations that I really don't like being in. I really don't get much response. Maybe you, like the heavens open and the Father comes down and says, walk through it. You know, here's the 7 steps that will make you successful as you're in the worst situation of your life. But sometimes in those moments, it's kind of silent. Because I think as a good follower, sometimes you just got to go, okay. I just needed to tell you I don't like it. I just want everyone to know this is taking too long. Okay, now that we've settled that, I'm good. I'm going to lean in. And I think it's okay. But I wouldn't necessarily always expect an answer because I think he tells you the first thing that he wants you to do, and then he's waiting for you to complete that before he gives you the next thing. And we keep coming back going, please tell me I can quit this. please. Or we just kind of make it up. Yep, the Lord told me I'm leaving. I'm going on a jet plane. Who knows when I'll be back again? And then we wonder why it's so difficult, because we took our will and we superimposed it on God. How do I follow? A willingness to stop and to say, what do you want? What are you doing? Sometimes it's not easy. But let me tell you, it will build patience, endurance, perspective. Following, we get to be people who ask good questions, study the landscape, wait and build properly. I believe that God has called us to be followers. Followers who find ourselves in places of influence and success, but we know what to do with it. It doesn't destroy us. It actually creates greater influence for Jesus. I want to help you. I don't want you to be under so much pressure and stress that you feel like everything is crumbling around you. The beautiful thing about this is being a follower is you don't have to have all the education. You don't have to know all the right answers. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. Jesus took a group of people and said, follow me. And he didn't look at their resume before he asked them to follow. He just said, listen, at the degree in which you're able to follow will be the degree in which I will give you success. You want me to say that again? I'll rewind that. For those of you that had record players and tape cassettes, okay, all of my son's generation is like, what was that? Because you can't rewind a CD or an Apple iTunes song. So, but for those of us that know what that's like, when you remember the tape deck that you hit rewind on while it's still playing, it's like, And then when it goes silent, oh, that's it. That's the right spot. Play the song again. I don't even remember what I said. Okay, that was awesome. Something about, to the degree in which you can follow, he will bring you into the measure of great success. Would you stand with me as we close?